Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, emotle, Africa, omhle, the beautiful African. Good day, good evening, dumela, tovela, molweni, ashe, hotep, sava, assalamu alaikum. Africa, we wish to make a correction to a misstatement in the previous program. We refer to the Gupta family in Africa, that the Gupta younger brother attempted to bribe the then CEO and chairman of the South African Airways, that is SAA, who was fired subsequently. In fact, Mafrika, the correction is the Gupta family did not meet the South African Broadcasting Corporation chairman, that is the SABC, chairman of the SABC. To continue Mafrika on the Gupta saga and travesty, in the meeting, Mafrika, the acting CEO and the chairman sat through the 40-minute meeting with the Gupta younger brother. His name is Raji, also known as Tony, who made an offer in Africa. According to the reports, now this was in 2013, March 11th, I quote Africa, the SAA acting CEO and chairman was offered 100,000 rands by the younger brother of the powerful Gupta family, as we indicated, just weeks after he took up the driving seat at the airlines. When he said he did not, in fact, that he refused the money, the Gupta allegedly upped it to 500,000 rands, which, of course, he refused in the end, Mafrika. So, the report goes on to say that the acting CEO and chairman was invited to the Gupta meeting at the Gupta's Saxon World, Johannesburg home, October 29, 2012. And the person who invited him, who facilitated the whole thing, is a special counsel, an advisor to the then public enterprise minister, Malusi Gigaba, who was then at the time in charge of the South African Airways under his ministry. Now, very intriguing, Africa. Also present at the meeting were the son of the president, Jacob Zuma, and the son of one premier. I won't mention his name. And this special counsel, Africa, reportedly was a key player in the controversial newspaper sale. You remember the Gupta New Age newspaper? Now, this council, special counsel, was involved in getting the parastatal support this New Age newspaper. And we pointed out in the previous broadcast that even Eskom donated 43 million rands to sponsor the Gupta newspaper breakfast, wasting taxpayer money that should have been used to maintain and repair the Eskom power networks, also repair the grid and the coal silos before your lights got cut off through load shedding. Load shedding should not have happened at all because it was a consequence of repair and maintenance of the Eskom networks. They got bonuses for nothing, and I think to some extent, to a greater extent, we should demand that money back because we paid bonuses for nothing. In fact, they got themselves paid bonuses for introducing the prepaid cards. When you introduce prepaid cards, you have the sick, the elderly, the pensioners, the indigent, the unemployed. Africa, you got to provide a cover for them because it would be like an addict going back and forth to the bottle store to buy a bottle of Nip. And that's how the prepaid cards work. And they introduced this thing which is uncivilized, primitive. And it was even cancelled in, removed, expanded in places like Britain and the United States, because it imposes an unbearable pressure. And when government does not cover the poor against cut-off of electricity, because they cannot afford it. You pay 10 rand, the 10 rand is finished, you have no money, you've got to go and borrow money. So giving yourself bonuses, imposing bonuses on the introduction of technology that was more oppressive to the poor. That's another kind of oppression. So we've replaced the poor oppression with scavengers and opportunists, especially the CEOs, because they are paid in excess. And for instance, they come in and increase their wages double, more than 200%. That's what happened at Eskom. And the question is, Mafrika, that's your money. What have you been doing? You'll suffer, Mafrika. You will suffer. Because these blacks, these Africans, are more opportunistic, they are more scavengers and totalitarian to you, the person that liberated that country. And they will come up with slogans of revolutionary, this revolution. They've been there for 20 years. What have you seen? Nothing. And they come back and say that, no, what are they talking about now? Economic liberation in our time? And a whole billionaire, and Julian Rich, stands up on stage after he tried to buy a buffalo for 18 million. Stands up and say the gap between the poor and the rich is escalating. And he talks about monopoly corporations, monopoly economy, apartheid economy. They did nothing. They have the best cars, the best houses, the best swimming pools, and if you have electricity cut off, they have the best generators because they can afford to buy generators, the best top range in town. And you, Mafrika, you'll eat dust. So Mafrika, Mafrika, so the Gupta Associates, another Gupta associate is currently implicated in a 66 million rands commission kickback when he was facilitating the Neotel. Neotel is a company, and they came up with a CCTV tender to Transnet. And this very financier is on loan to Eskom to try and raise money for Eskom. This is the Gupta trail. Gupta network, it moves from, that's why some of these CEOs, these are subservient servants of the Guptas. I mean, that's how serious the situation is. And my Africa, the other thing is that you have power invested in the president, concentrated in the president, and a few cycle of CEOs and henchmen in the ruling party. That's where corruption starts, and that's where the root of corruption begins. So Manfred goes on to say that the report goes on to say that, yes, indeed, the special counsel, when he was asked that, did he arrange that meeting with the Gupta family and the acting CEO and chairman of the South African Airways, he said, yes, I did organize that. He confirmed introducing the acting chairman and CEO to Sahara, which is the Gupta computer company. They are in computers, they are in mining, they are in this, they are in that. Huh? The Gupta company reportedly, which is Sahara company, was a significant user of the South African Airways travel services and had impending significant additional travel business for SAA. That's partly why the meeting was called. But why the 500,000 bribe? So the report, Mafrika, the papers have gone on to report that senior ANC officials had raised over the fact that the Gupta brothers, Atul, Ajay, Rajay, who is Tony, were said to wield so much power that they often summoned cabinet ministers and senior government officials to their Saxon world home. If that is true, Mafika, this is treason. This is treason. You cannot have a bunch of... You cannot have a family from India or Pakistan come and run the show because the ANC... You see what the ruling party... They did that during the liberation struggle. They would sit there, get other people, get Caucasians, get other people to do the work for them. It's the same strategy. And I bet you they were brought in by one of the senior ANC people, of course, who is of Indian extraction. I'm not being tribalist, but there's a tendency in Africa that is very, very serious, and it has to be looked at. Because we cannot have occupation and compromise with the apartheid regime. Of course, the apartheid economy was run by a family, the Oppenheimers and others, select few, that ended up holding meetings with the ruling government. You remember 1994, the ANC used to go and hold breakfast meetings at Oppenheimer's farm. Now they're doing this with the Guptas. Much worse, the Guptas are reportedly appointed. They have power of appointment. They will power that they often summon cabinet ministers to their house, private home. Even the current Minister of Sport, African Recreation, publicly complained that the Gupta family informed him of his cabinet appointment before he was told of the appointment officially. So they appeal to you, my Africa, those compatriots in the governing party, ruling party, because you are brothers and sisters, you are not our enemies. What are you doing to the security of the country? What? What are you doing? To protect one party boss? Or to protect your positions in government? And my Africa, it makes good sense that the Gupta family also, because they have power, they wield power over the cabinet ministers. They are now wielding power, exercise great sway and influence over the CEOs of the parastatals, like Transnet and Eskom. For you to move from one Transnet to Eskom, there you have to be approved by the Guptas, because they've been making some deals. The CEOs are obedient and suppliant to the Gupta family. If cabinet ministers can be supplying to the Gupta family, it goes with the fact, because the parastatals, that's where our money is. That's why you see today that they come up with prestige projects. Like, for example, the nuclear project. They cannot fix toilets. They cannot build toilets. They can't build houses. They want to build nuclear because they want to rip us off. By the time the whole thing is put in place, they'll be out. They'll be back to Pakistan or India. They don't care about us. And Africa, she pointed out that the Gupta family guests landed at the military air force base, Waterloo, a strategic national security point. And the official implicated Africa was moved out. He was moved out and appointed as an ambassador to the Netherlands. So that's how they circulated debt in government. And it is no surprise, Africa, 2 weeks ago, that the jet aircraft owned and registered by the Gupta family and son of the president, who is director of the company, that jet aircraft flew out the deputy president to Japan on an official state visit. What's this? What is this? And the government comes out and says that they did not know that the Gupta family owns the chartered aircraft. And they never ask who the owner is of the aircraft. They just give out the contract, the chartered contract, to the registered service provider. Who are you lying to? Who are you lying to? Because the Guptas were SAA, tried to bribe the acting CEO and chairman. Now they've catapulted. Now they have their own aircraft. And where was the Air Force? Why did the Air Force fail to fly the deputy president to Japan? Why? And you cannot tell us, you don't know who's owning the plane, because that's part of intelligence. It's part of state security. Why lie to us? But Mafika, they're lying to us because why? They're not accountable to you. They're not accountable to me. You cannot recall them. You do not have a representative in parliament that will ask specific questions. Why and what happened? So that's why we're asking for Mafika, that we need a constituent electoral system. You have to send your own community representatives to parliament. No more appointees and suppliant praise singers and sycophants of party bosses. No. Because that creates space for the likes of the Guptas. And we ask the question, Mafika, is this the government of the people for the people? Or have you, the governing party, surrendered the country's security and fiscus, the money of the country and security, to the Gupta family? Are we effectively a Gupta state, huh? Or Gupta republic? Because, you know, Banana Republic, you said about it, and also we talked about Golden Handshake Republic. And Mafika, you ask yourself a question. Will the Gupta family gallivant in China and in the Chinese government like they are doing in South Africa? You think the Chinese or anybody else, even Pakistan and India, would allow them? Well, let me exclude that. Do you think the Chinese will allow them to gallivant freely like they are doing in South Africa, calling cabinet ministers to their private home? Imagine what influence. Now, if this is the case with our government, what influence and control will China wield? Because it looks like we are a client state of China now, and we are a conduit to Africa. What influence will the Chinese wield on the South African government, nation, and Africa? And we, as we said, as Pan-Africa, we are neither for the, we take the best from the East, we take the best from the West. We are clients of none or sycophants of none. We insist on African independence and self-reliance. Now, to be run by, infiltrated by the Gupta family, that's worse. The governing party is worse. Now, look at how China deals with, let's look at how China deals with corruption. April 7th this year, 2015, the former mayor of the Chinese city of Nanjing was sentenced to 15 years in jail for corruption in the latest high-profile case under President Xi Jinping, much-touted anti-graft drive. Now, Jin Jiani was found guilty of taking $1.9 million in bribes from 1992 to 2012. Authorities have also confiscated property worth of 2 million yuan from the former mayor, who was nicknamed the Bulldozer G, for his relentless promotion of construction projects in the city. Does that sound familiar? The infrastructure project? They put up some millions in Eastern Cape for an infrastructure project. It does fizzle. And the families of the politicians were involved in that. Gone. Almost 200, 600 million rands gone, as we speak, in Eastern Cape. Now, the mayor was expelled from the Communist Party in January 2014 when authorities claimed he had received a huge amount of money and gifts either by himself or through his family members. Same thing that we have. Now, we have General Guo Boxingwa, 73 years old, retired in 2013. He was a top military leader who served as the vice chairman of the powerful Central Military Commission for over a decade. Charged with corruption, was found to have taken advantage of his post to seek promotion and other benefits for others, and accepted bribes personally or through his family. The state-run Xinhua news agency reported. Former general, 73 years old. Ling Huang is a mining tycoon found guilty of murder and running a mafia-style organization, wasn't strictly a corrupt official, but his conviction shed light on his links to the top target of anti-corruption campaign. And then we have Tian, vice chairman of the China's Olympic Committee, sacked June 16 this year under investigation over allegation of corruption. And then you have Bo Xilai, former city mayor, provincial government, minister of commerce, and member of Politburo, powerful policy-making body of the Communist Party. He had been tipped to ascend further up the party hierarchy. His father was Chairman Mao's colleague, sentenced to life imprisonment for bribe-taking, as well as 15 years for embezzlement and 7 years for abuse of power. We look at South Africa, we have laws too. We have the anti-corruption laws. The Prevention and Combating of Corruption Act makes it a crime for anyone to directly or indirectly give, agree to give, or offer any other person gratification in the form of money, donations, gifts, or loans to induce dishonest and biased behavior. Now, in Africa, you can say that the largest part of it with respect to the transformation, they kept these laws. These laws are there. That is the only advantage from the transformation. Some of these anti-corruption laws are there. But what we have a National Director of Public Prosecutions. Remember, the new one was appointed recently, and the old one was given a 17.3 million golden handshake because somehow he was going to pursue some of the political officials, maybe including the president himself. So that's why he was removed. Now you have a new director of prosecutions, public prosecutions appointed, and complete compromise, my friend. And the appointment is challenged in this court by civil society, saying that it was unjust and that the golden handshake was illegitimate or illegal. That was given the previous director. So, and also the director of National Prosecution Service and the National Specialized Prosecution Service, which includes, in Africa, the powerful agencies such as the Commercial Crime Unit. Now, is herself facing a court challenge, in Africa, by the General Counsel of Bar to have a strike of the role of advocates. The director, in Africa, the deputy director who is responsible for Commercial Crime Unit, is facing charges, in Africa, challenges in court. And Africa, she is facing a court challenge by the General Counsel of the Bar to have a strike of the role of advocates. Because Africa, the Court of Appeals previously had ruled that she had perjured herself when defending dropping corruption and murder charges against a cop who made spy tapes. This cop made spy tapes that dropped corruption charges against the current president. That's how it operates, my friend. So, the question is, my friend, is this your government? Is this your own government in the country? I mean, how does it operate? Huh? So, the power lies in you. You can vote to change, to stop corruption, Africa. You can vote to change this government. And we appeal to you, Africa, again. Vote as Africa. Vote to elect your own community representatives in parliament. As Africa, you might as well have or live under the Gupta state. We've got to separate the party from the state. Separate the state from the political party. Africa, the political party, even if it is the governing party, is not the state, it is not the country, it is not the nation. It is there to facilitate, deliver services, use our money properly. But we've got to keep our eyes on the money, public money. Because if we look the other way, they will misuse it. They will go and buy Pajeros, Mercedes Benzes, the latest of the cars, the latest, the biggest of the houses, the biggest of the swimming pools. Africa, keep your eyes on the money, but your vote can be your eyes and your vote can be your mouthpiece. The party, my political party in Africa, is just an instrument, a vehicle in Africa that personifies, it expresses, publicizes, it propagates, it defends party political manifesto, the party principles, political ideology, and message. Nothing more than that. Once they go into office, they become, in fact, you know what, once they go into office, cut off any link with the party. Cut it off. They must concentrate on governing the nation. So we cannot confuse the party and the state in Africa. And that is what we have in South Africa. It has become the root of corruption, misuse and abuse of the state by party bosses and party agents in Africa. They are there to protect and promote the party rule and hegemony over and above the government and the voter, you. They'll do it above you. Like they are saying recently that what they're going to do is they're going to get the ward councillors. They would appoint three from the party, go and converse and talk to the people, and those are the people like the party will appoint. No. The ward councillors must be elected directly by the people, and there must be a clause in the vote legislation, procedures or guidelines, that if dissatisfied with the councillor, the people can vote to recall the councillor, period. It does not have to be the opposition, because what's happening now, you find that the opposition goes and votes the disreputable or disreputable councillor. No. You give the opposition too much power. Let the power go back to the people. If the people are dissatisfied, the individual voters, let them put up a motion, get the signatures. You can get 500 signatures, 1,000 signatures, 2,000, 10,000 signatures, whatever. Let them put up the signatures to recall the non-performing ward councillor. That's all. Let the power devolve and go back to the people. And we repeat, Africa, it has to happen also with the representatives in parliament. They can no longer be appointed. The appeal is across the board, Africa, to the governing party, to the opposition, look, let's get the people be the eyes and ears of parliament. Let them elect representative directly, and no public of office, mayor, councillor, premier, parliamentarian, must be appointed. They have to all be elected. They have to be elected. So that the power comes back to the people. Because why, in Africa? The country is drifting. It's derailed. And to have the likes of the Gupta family to have so much power unelected by us, Africa, there's something wrong. It is not enough just to be appointed into a position. And those who are getting appointed and pursuing, exercising, executing corruption, they'll go to jail. They will go to jail, Africa, because we can cook this thing that, like in China, China is powerful today, and it's not by mistake or by accident that China is this powerful. They'll send you to jail. They will convict you. They will send you to life imprisonment, and they will execute you. Africa, let's wake up. And also that we are saying that the president cannot appoint public servants, the judges, chief justice, deputy justices, court judge presidents, the reserve bank governor. He cannot do that by himself. Africa is later, Fasilarona, the land is ours. Thank you, Africa, for the privilege of talking to you. Thank you.